Oh, you're going to love my next guest. His name is Sean Kenny. He's a retired police detective out of California. He's also an entrepreneur and owner of a very successful company called Line Driven Strategies, LLC. Now, their goal is to improve morale and wellness throughout practical training in high-risk, high-liability activities. We all know this. We're all in law enforcement. You're going to love this show. Such great takeaways from an expert. Sean Kenny, next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. Whatever you were doing, wherever you are at, thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. You're going to love this show with Sean Kenny. But first, I want to give a big shout out to all the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing. Thank you for doing it. Remember, you were honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. I am so excited that my micro book, Evolve, is here. Maybe you've seen some advanced copies that I sent floating around out there, but now it's available for you. And I want to send you an autographed copy. If you reach out to me through LinkedIn or Instagram, I will get one in the mail to you. If you want a free ebook version of Evolve, go to cjevolution.com, enter your email, follow the prompts, and you're going to get the ebook version of this amazing book. Again, written by me for you, the criminal justice professional. You're going to love it. I am so proud of it. A big shout out to our sponsor, Detectachem. This amazing company is protecting our brave men and women who protect us every day by offering mobile threat detection available for the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives. I wish they had this technology when I was a younger officer. If you head over to the website, you're going to see a link to Detectachem. See how they can help you protect your troops. Folks, if you're in charge of your extra duty program or extra duty assignments within your organization, and you're feeling overwhelmed because you got so much other stuff going on and projects going on at the same time, I want to tell you about my friends at Extra Duty Solutions. This amazing company helps law enforcement agencies add efficiency and effectiveness to their extra duty programs. They can help you with client interaction, scheduling, officer payments, feedback. They do it all. And their services are provided, here you go, at no cost to the department and a minimal cost to the clients, and their programs can be customized to meet the goals and unique needs of any law enforcement agency. Again, an amazing company. Head over to extradutysolutions.com. That's extradutysolutions.com and see how this company can help you with your extra duty program. And tell them Patrick from CJ Evolution Podcast sent you onto the show with Sean Kenny. Sean Kenny on the show. Welcome, brother.
Thank you, Patrick. Happy to be here.
Well, happy you are here, sir. I know you're very busy. I always ask, you know, Leos and military that come on the show, what made you get into law enforcement? What was the catalyst? What made you think to yourself, Sean, you know, I'm gonna do that?
So I guess I'm not going to give you the political answer right out of the gate, but... I was kind of drawn in by the allure of, playing an adult's version of Cops and Robbers and but what really got me was just the ability to work as a team towards more of a positive goal. And so obviously you get all those adrenaline rushes and whatnot during your first couple of years working, but it's kind of funny. It really did shift in kind of the more traditional answer that you get of helping people as time went on. You know, you get those success stories of helping a little kid find their bike or something like that. And just having those positive impacts just kind of keeps you going through the years.
What would you had a really successful career, Sean? I mean, you've done everything from SWAT, you were a recruiter, you were in the U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force. What was your favorite gig or assignment that you had in your career?
Probably all the investigative unit assignments. It's a completely different animal than constantly responding to the radio calls. I mean, you really take a case and you dive into it. You get to answer that 2-year-old question that nags everybody. Why, you know, why did this occur? Who did it? Why did it happen? And so it was really challenging and it opened a lot of doors for me as well. So that's probably my most favorite. I mean, the Marshals Task Force thing, that's just all the fun of cop work, of finding the bad guys and not writing a single piece of paperwork, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I know cops that did that assignment, did that gig here in Colorado, and, you know, they go have fun, they put on all their gear, and then somebody else does the reports, which is always awesome.
Nice, generally get like a take-home undercover ride, and you have a pretty flexible schedule, so it's not a bad gig whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, you've been around a long time. great law enforcement career. I imagine you still talk to some friends that are they're still in law enforcement. You see the news, Sean. You know, a lot of challenges out there for law enforcement right now. I think it's I was talking with a friend of mine a couple hours ago, and I think it's almost more challenging now than it ever has been. Maybe I'm just naive, but what do you think some of the challenges going forward for law enforcement are going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to be playing the same tune as what your friends are saying, but it's just we seem to be splitting ourselves in two different big factions, and it's almost turning into a bigger us versus them mentality, which never is successful. So yeah, just kind of getting everybody back on the same page and understanding that the men and women that are doing this job are professionals and they're trying to do the right thing for the right reasons. And so that, you know, the community members, even the people that don't necessarily like the police, can at least work together for a common goal. Mm-hmm. And how you practically do that, man, that's a monster. It's an absolute monster. But it all starts just with being honest with each other and upfront and kind of not hiding your poker cards all the time.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, I spent a lot of years in law enforcement, as you know, and I think you hit it on the head. I think, you know, I think as officers and criminal justice professionals, I think sometimes, like you said, I mean, we're really good at taking care of other people's problems externally, but when it comes internally, I think you're right, Sean. I think we have a hard time like telling each other how it is or being honest with each other. And I think that creates a lot of the problems.
Well, I don't necessarily blame anyone for it. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. You know, when you're a commander, I'm sure you had maybe one or two things to deal with on your desk at a given time. and so how do you address the things that need to get accomplished for your day and then also recognize that there may be some new emerging issue internally with your own organization? It's hard to see, for one. And then even if it is discovered, it's generally discovered just a tad bit too late. And it's really tough to take in all the input from everybody at your agency. Mm-hmm.
So if you were going to advise, and maybe you've done this, Sean, in the past or recently, if you were going to give somebody advice who is kicking around the idea of getting into criminal justice, i.e., you know, be a first responder, police, you know, what advice would you give that person?
Really answer your own internal two-year-old question of why am I doing this, you know, and is law enforcement going to kind of scratch that itch, for lack of a better term? Understand your purpose behind it and make sure that you don't lose sight of that, because it's a very difficult thing to kind of keep your focus, especially when you're in such a negative world. I mean, you literally are dealing with negativity on a daily basis. So you got to find your purpose and then also really hammer that down and understand it's going to be a rough roller coaster, but yeah, Still enjoyable.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the majority of people, I'd like to hear your take on this. I think the majority of people out there support, you know, law enforcement. I always say, I just wish they were more vocal. And I tell officers and cadets, you know, I lecture and talk to a lot of people. I don't believe, you know, a lot of the stuff that is going on in the media, because I really do think that a lot of law enforcement, there's a lot of people out there that support law enforcement.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look within your own agency and just ask your people, hey, when's the last time you went to a city council meeting and voiced your opinion on a particular topic? And almost everybody's going to say it's never happened. But there is a lot of emotional attention given to those that are speaking up and really loud, and especially during traumatic incidents. It's hard not to ignore those headline stories, but it just becomes all the more reason to listen to each other internally on the smaller issues.
Yeah.
Just make sure you focus. Hey, this little thing's coming up. Actually give it some credence and see what's working, see what's not working, and try to find a practical way to solve it and solve both sides of the house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I follow law enforcement, all the you know, stuff that's coming down the pike, and I don't mean to pick on California, but some of the stuff that is going out there where, you know, they want to get rid of, you know, objective reasonableness, Graham v. Connor, they want to take all this decision-making from officers. It's just crazy, man. It's ludicrous. I mean, what people are not going to get into the profession anymore.
I mean, it's nuts. We were just reading a headline this morning that one of the SF supervisors was screaming F the SFPOA. And I'm like, that's a huge organization of people that are trying to do the right thing. And here you are cursing them out at a big public venue as a public official. It's just creating this divide. But, you know, I mean, you look at the contacts that your officers have at any given agency, almost every single one of your contacts is starting off as a negative by nature contact. But overall, I mean, 99% of those contacts never result in any kind of force or significant injury or anything like that. So you got to understand, like, people are reducing dangerous situations on a daily basis. And I challenge you to find any other profession that has that success rate. Like, I can almost guarantee ER doctors don't have that success rate. I mean, special forces get to train, you know, 100% more than any law enforcement agency does, yet they still don't have that kind of a success rate. And so we really undersell ourselves in terms of the training that we get and the success rate that we do have.
Yeah. And it really, and great, great point about, you know, the success rate. And I think that's not, I think there needs to be more emphasis on that with especially senior executives, you know, I mean, politicians. That you're right, Sean, law enforcement is very, very successful. But you know, I mean, it's almost like a, you know, people just believe, some people just believe the first thing they see in the media, if some politician or some quote leader says, well, cops are out there just abusing people every day. Some people just run with it without actually vetting the research or actually, I mean, we live in the greatest time ever with information. I mean, do your own research. Don't just go with off, you know, somebody else's saying. And that's the thing that is kind of frightening to me. It's like, you know, the blind lemons go, or lemmings going off the cliff. They, you know, just follow people without even checking out themselves what, you know, what law enforcement is actually doing out there.
Yeah, I mean, just any kind of context is almost probably the most important thing. But you're having people that are not in the profession typically weigh in or opine based on what they're seeing on a very limited scope, whether it's a body camera or a statement made by some suspect or something like that. And that's not the entire picture. And it's, people are information crazed, but it's virtually impossible to give a true and very relevant context in the matter of a minute news story or a Twitter feed or something like that. It's impossible. I mean, this job is way more complicated than that. And it doesn't do justice for anybody when you just go out there and bash the other side. I mean, you watch an NFL game, I don't care which side of the, which team you're rooting for, but you'll never agree completely. And you have guys looking at replay videos.
Exactly.
Slow motion.
From every angle.
From every angle. But most of the time, the refs are calling it right. I mean, there's always going to be one or two instances that you go, ah, we could have done that better because we're humans, right? But it's, we don't give the benefit of the doubt. And it's an ugly thing, typically. I mean, everybody loves sausage. Nobody likes to see how it's made, right?
I like that.
But here we are, you know, critiquing how this is occurring when they're not completely in it. I mean, even as law enforcement officials and professionals, we'll look at another cop's video and we find ourselves going, ah, that looks kind of funny. But we're not getting the context. We don't get the whole story 90% of the time.
Yeah. And it just, you know, it's just the world we live in. I mean, things obviously have changed so much since you and I got into it. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, that we'd be giving the Narcan to people, administering that? Who would have thought that we have body, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just, it's just amazing to me how much things have changed. You know, I mean, you know, body cams, things like that, the technology aspect of it, where, you know, we're, you know, under the microscope as we should be, and we're getting filmed more than ever now. And yeah, it's just amazing how things change over time. It still baffles me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I never would have thought that we would have been flying a tiny little helicopter, also known as a drone, yeah, responding to calls, but you have agencies that are literally responding to calls with drones now. And it's just forecasting towards the future. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's a great segue. So what do you think, just kind of expanding your thoughts, Sean, on, you mentioned a good point about drones, more and more departments are employing them. I know here in Colorado, Boulder County, Sheriff's Department, a lot of other agencies are signing up and getting drones, but they have to go through training and all that stuff. And what are your thoughts on technology? I mean, my God, it's changed so much again since you and I have gotten into it.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't kind of keep up to date with the new technology that's coming out. But I mean, you can look at, you know, historically things like the taser, and we'll give the taser to everybody, and people are thinking that, oh, this is going to solve all of our problems now. And then the first time they use it and it doesn't work, they're vapor locked. And so I like the technology. I really hope that agencies are able to practically deploy them and also give their staff the training that they deserve. I mean, I remember one agency I worked around, they deployed the body cameras to everybody, but they didn't tell anybody how they worked. They just said, no, just turn it on every single contact. And
wow. No policy or just, yeah, just go out there.
Yeah. Policy, put it on every single contact. And it's, you know, guys are scoffing at it, but they're also not realizing, oh, there was a 30-second buffer that captured me in the urinal stall. And, you know, it's all these unintended consequences that are coming out just because we're deploying things without really understanding how to practically use them. I mean, drones are such a huge thing right now. You got SWAT teams using them to do entries instead of actually exposing a team, which is a great tool if you can do it, if it's practical.
Yeah.
So there's so much possibilities in the future. And as long as you're exploring them, training with them, and practically adapting with them,
yeah,
that's the challenge.
Do you miss law enforcement?
I think I've said this before, but I miss the clowns, but not the circus.
I love that.
Yeah, no, I really miss the people. I miss working as a team towards a positive common purpose. But it's just, it gets tougher and tougher every day. And my hat's off to everybody that's still doing it, just because of all the negativity that is constantly thrown their way. And I sure hope people can keep a positive outlook and know that what they're doing is important. And, you know, my family still needs them. My family still wants them to do good work. So I hope they recognize that, like we said before, the majority of people, while they may not be vocal, really do support them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I love what you're doing, your work, because you, Sean, and many others like you, you know, continue to give back. And I think it's so important that the people that do have platforms, you, me, other people, we spend a lot of time thanking, you know, really, you know, admiring and cherishing our brave first responders, because they need that, I think, now more than ever. Again, I think things have gotten much more difficult over the years since I got in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it becomes that much more important to, you know, just be thankful and appreciative of everything that we have, not only with law enforcement in general, but just life in general. And, you know, if we could be that positive message that keeps people going and keeps people safe. And that's a huge win, not only for me, but for you as well.
Now, you are a very successful entrepreneur. I want to talk about your business, Line Driven Strategies, in a minute. Great things you're doing. Did you always have that entrepreneurial bug? Because I love talking to Leos, former Leos, that have gone on, have had a successful transition from a successful law enforcement career to successful entrepreneurship. And I love it. So first, I mean, did you always have that entrepreneurial bug?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. No, I don't think so. I mean, as a little kid, I remember selling things like lemonade and baseball cards and things along those lines. But I think it more developed as I received more and more autonomy in my profession and realized all the good things that you could do once your creativity is explored and expanded upon. And so that's kind of just a natural progression and extension of it.
And I talk to police officers all the time from every different level, Sean, and I'm sure you do too. And so many of them, in my experience, you know, when I talk to them, you know, they either have a book that they want to write, or they have a business or side hustle. But a lot of them are afraid to pull the trigger because they don't believe that they can do it. They have this mindset that they're pigeonholed into only being a cop and they can't do anything else. And I'm like, that is, in my opinion, that's so far from the truth. I mean, you got many talents, many skills. You just need to capitalize on that. I mean, you had a successful career in law enforcement. And I'm willing to bet that you're capitalizing on all the skills, talents, all the skill set you learned over the years to be a successful entrepreneur.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so frustrating. I mean, I have those feelings with myself going, should I do this? Should I do that? And sometimes you just got to jump in and see if the water's too cold or too hot or how it's going to work. And it's kind of part of the ride. You know, you have successes, you have failures, and that's part of the fun. And once you do get those big successes or those good feedbacks from courses that you're teaching or coaching that you're doing, I mean, those are the huge wins, and that just, it lights the fire underneath you and keeps you going. And yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just, and I was there too. I mean, I can attest to it, but I think, you know, a lot of people are just afraid of, oh my, you know, what are, what are my buddies going to think of me? And they're going to make fun of me and they're going to, you know, and then that's just part of the ride, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, if your friends and your old coworkers are talking crap about you behind your back, okay, it is what it is, but I'm still enjoying what I'm doing and I'm trying to do the right thing for the right reasons. So I don't think there's any negative fallout from that.
Yeah. I have a sign in my office that says hustle until your haters ask if you're hiring.
Nice. There's a good country song by a guy named Cody Johnson, Doubt Me Now or something along those lines. And it's all about how people are doubting him and doubting him and doubting him. And you just keep trucking along because it's what he believed in and what he was passionate about. And he came out and now he has huge record deals and everything like that. He actually used to be a corrections officer out in Texas.
Oh, I did not know that. I'll have to check him out. Now, tell us about line-driven strategies, buddy.
Yeah, no. So the company is just basically built off of the idea that there's ideas at the line level that aren't getting explored and there's issues and things that the executive staff are experiencing on a daily basis, but they're not finding practical solutions that help everybody out. And so you just kind of come in as the intermediary and ask the worker bees what's working, what's not working, where can they save money, where do they need to expend more money at? And then we just practically package it and kind of help executives figure out how to improve morale, improve efficiency, and save a little bit of money in the process. And we have training programs kind of built around that philosophy as well. So, you know, de-escalation is kind of a big one right now. And so we have a de-escalation class that we're able to provide for free for agencies. And we try to get some practical concepts, but also help the executive staff understand how it's practically deployed and implemented.
And it sounds like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but a lot of what you do centers around just, you know, proper effective communication, right? Because everything starts with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds so simple and people are like, well, how do you do X, Y, and Z, or how do you get these results? And it's no big secret. I'd literally just ask people what works, and it's their environment. They know it better than I ever will. And so it's kind of a funny thing, but again, I don't blame either side because we protect our information. We think, oh, this is my baby. I'm not going to let anybody else see it because it might be a little ugly right now. And, you know, and so just opening those doors of communication solves so many problems and issues internally and externally.
Yeah. And I love what you say. You say, if you can run your police department like a Fortune 500 company, you win. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, government entities as a whole typically operate with or without great efficiencies because they're funded based on taxes. Mm-hmm. Whereas Fortune 500 companies, they need to turn a profit and they need to retain their employees to stay efficient and effective. And if we take those principles and really apply it towards law enforcement and internal communication and process improvement, you become extremely effective. You can run a lot leaner and you can run a lot safer as well. Mm-hmm.
And it's so important because law enforcement, you know, Sean, but for the listener, law enforcement takes a lot from the private sector, whether you realize it or not, Six Sigma, other leadership philosophies, a lot comes from the private sector, believe it or not.
Oh yeah. We don't package it like a Six Sigma or lean financing or anything like
that. Sure.
But we do pluck processes in and out and weave them into our leadership courses. It's just a lot of that doesn't get filtered down to the line level officer. They don't understand that there's all these other wheels turning in the background of their organization. And so helping them understand that and then also how to leverage that, it gets huge results.
Yeah. And I think the ability to be open to change, because I think in law enforcement, you know, I think, you know, there's a tendency with some organizations, some leadership out there where, you know, why don't we just keep doing what we've always been doing? You know, the old way has always served us well. And the reality, at least in my opinion, is, you know, you gotta continue, you know, pushing the envelope, continue to grow and try new things.
Yeah. I mean, if you do what you've done, you get what you've got. And I would like to think that most people recognize that that is not working right now, just in terms of the change in the landscape. Mm-hmm. And so we got to do things to try to adapt to that and kind of head it off the path to make sure that we don't go down a deeper, darker road.
Now, what do you think about, what do you think, Sean, we were talking a little bit about it indirectly earlier, but what do you think organizations out there can do to retain their talent? And I understand there's going to be natural attrition. People are going to come and go, But, you know, in some organizations, you see this massive turnover. What do you think organizations, or what advice would you have for leadership out there to try to retain their talent in these difficult times? We're all fighting for the same people, it seems like, most of the times. There's not a big, huge pool like there used to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a human factor, so it's so complex. But yeah. I guess the simplest advice or suggestion I would offer would be just ask your people candidly, anonymously, whatever it may be. Even just do an anonymous survey, which is what we do a lot of times. It's just, hey, why are you working here? What is important to you? What values are important to you? And are we satisfying those different values? And if you see a common thread throughout your organization, then do everything you possibly can to address it. Now, I get it. A lot of them will say, oh, we want better pay and benefits. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want better pay and benefits, let's be honest, you can make a ton more money doing something else. And so that's not, I don't like that answer a lot of the times. And it's also not something that's very controllable, but there's a lot of internal intrinsic motivators that people have that aren't getting explored or leveraged or expanded upon.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you talk about your company and your people talk about, you know, improving morale and wellness, which is, I think, is huge. I'm so glad, again, you know, people like you are talking about this, but especially when it, you know, comes to officer wellness, because I think it's much more talked about now, and there's a lot of people out there helping officers. I think a lot more work needs to be done. But it's a lot better than when I got in, and probably when you got in. But it is so important, you know, these days that we teach our young officers and even veteran officers, you know, that they need to take care of themselves. You know, you take care of yourself first, you know, you're going to be able to take better care of the people around you.
Absolutely. And I think just with the different generations and learning styles that are coming in, a lot of that is becoming easier. I mean, you look like the millennials, if you will. Well, they're lieutenants now, but that's a different story. but you look at like the Gen Z generation that's coming in, and they're a lot more open to their personalities and feelings. So that's helpful. But then they also got to understand how to package that and deliver it instead of a, you know, a morning coffee house complaint session. Let's take those concerns and actually address them and make sure that we're giving before we're taking from different entities.
Yeah. And the one thing that young officers used to tell me when I was still on the job was, you know, money's important. Don't get me wrong. They want to make a living, but they work to live. They don't live to work. Like I was kind of, you know, groomed or raised, you know, as a young officer, you know, I was signing up for everything and all this overtime and at the detriment sometimes of relationships and things like that. But I think it's definitely a different generation. And I like it because it seems like they have a better, in some instances, have a better work-life, personal life balance, which I think is needed.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I remember earlier on, we used to always, every graveyard shift, after the last day of the shift, we'd all get together and hang out for, you know, half the day or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
And being exhausted at the time, but there's so many different educational pieces that are coming out there, talking about cumulative sleep deprivation and things like that we're trying to address. You know, a lot of agencies are putting workout programs in the middle of their shift, just to really hammer home that wellness aspect. So as long as we can kind of keep along that wellness trend, I think the fallout from that will be positive for everybody.
And I think I told you before, Sean, that I love like meditation. Now, if you had asked me a handful of years ago, you know, about meditation, I probably would have laughed at you, but I think it's so important. It's helped me a lot. I don't know if you meditate, but I think it's very, very important.
Yeah. I mean, again, everybody, I think
we have different views on it.
Yeah. Very different views. My meditation is that, like, I'll walk around the neighborhood for a while, just when it's a nice brisk morning or something along those lines, and not listening to any music or anything like that, but just kind of zoning out, for lack of a better term, and really thinking and reflecting on things. So whatever your outlet is, you have to have that, you know, instead of signing up for that extra 3 hours of overtime, maybe do that 1 hour workout that's going to help you out, or take a coaching program or something along those lines.
Yeah. And I remember working graveyards for many years, and that's just part of the job, but it takes such a toll on you as far as, you know, your body and your overall well-being. And I just know that that's a natural, that's just the nature of the beast, you know, for many organizations, but it still doesn't mean that you can't eat right, you know, package your meals, take them to work, and try to get some good sleep. I mean, I remember thinking I was, you know, I was doing myself a favor by getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. In retrospect, that probably wasn't a good thing.
Yeah, no, yeah. Your 3 hour, 4 hour hit isn't the best. And yeah, I had a similar thing. I cut out desserts because I got a couple sweet teeth in my mouth, and I cut out desserts for 1 month. And it was just crazy how much, not just physically I was feeling, but just mentally I was like more alert and just kind of with it a whole lot better, sleeping better. It's just crazy. These little small nuggets that help you along the way.
Now what's next for you, your company, any big plans on the horizon?
Yeah, we're trying to balance out our schedule right now. We really bit off a lot early on. And so I'm really trying to get a consistent flow with scheduling training sessions and then blending in the projects in there as well. I'd like to do more help with agencies and addressing their budget woes. Now that's kind of an oxymoron business plan, because if they're having budget woes, then it's kind of hard to take on a company. But yeah, no, trying to find some practical ways to solve some of these bigger issues so that they can really focus in on their employee wellness and making sure that they're delivering the best product to their staff and that their staff's still delivering the best product to their community.
And you do everything. I mean, your company does a lot of, you know, liability mitigation, other things. I mean, what other services do you offer?
I mean, the biggest one we're doing right now is a lot of training for different agencies. It gets us a great network of people and learning what the different agencies in the areas need. Probably the biggest project world that we're doing is just employee surveys, understanding what their employees need, understanding what's working, what's not working, and really leveraging those, not only to save the agency money, but to ensure that they are delivering the best product to their employees.
Sean Kenny, if people want to reach out to your brother, how can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to the website, linedriven.net, or you can email me, Sean, S-E-A-N, at linedriven.net, and happy to chat, talk, email, whatever you guys like.
Any final words of wisdom, brother, before we wrap it up?
No, I truly appreciate the time. It's been enjoyable, and I follow you a lot, and I pick your brain as much as I can, and it's really interesting. So,
well, thank you. You're absolutely welcome, brother. I'd love to have you back on sometime in the future, and we can talk about the next big project or the next great thing you were doing, because you're doing so much. Like I said, brother, thank you so much for what you're doing and your honorable service to this great profession we call law enforcement, and you keep giving back, which we love. Thank you so much, sir.
No, thank you, and appreciate your service as well. You definitely did a lot more than I did, so truly appreciate that. Keep it up.
All right, Sean. Take care, buddy.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.